Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
There are new efforts to introduce age verification systems online. They are gathering momentum. The aim, of course, is to protect children from harmful content. But the obvious challenge is the kids. Are the kids? The challenge is the kids, because they are a lot smarter, I think, than we are, and they're going to find a way around it. So I'm always quite skeptical about this. I think we've got to educate rather than legislate in this particular way. But let's try and understand from somebody who actually does know what they're talking about how effective these systems can really be. Are we solving the problem, or are we really just creating what I think is an illusion of a control? Joining us now is Dr. Wei Tse Lung from the Academy for Computer Science, Software Engineering, a specialist in cyber crime, talking about these types of ideas. A very, very good morning to you. Thank you for joining us. Can we start here? How effective are age verification systems in reality?
So, good morning, Howard, and to your listeners. These systems are the ones that were used by the tech giants to verify age, for example, with YouTube, so that they don't show you content deemed inappropriate for children. They were mainly using AI systems. But I think the one that you're talking about, the one that's being floated about in the EU, is probably one that takes advantage of the member countries' national ID system. So maybe that might be more effective, because obviously you would have to, it would be a profile linked to your national ID, and then you can then use that to go online and say, well, I am indeed so and so with this age. But as you pointed out, what's to stop? It's the same idea of what's to stop you from taking your parents or your older brother and sisters' ID and then using that. But I'm sure there are ways for them to
I can tell
work
you
around.
that I mean, I don't want to disparage my children, but anyone over 18 will see it as a business letting somebody else, a younger kid, pay for the use of their ID. I just think they'll get around it. These kids are crafty.
Inventive.
Inventive, that's a good word.
I do agree.
Yeah.
I think they probably they are thinking deeply about this matter, and they probably will say it won't just be a straightforward upload your ID and we're good to go.
Right.
Probably will be upload your ID, but then we link it to your biometrics. So maybe each time you sign in, they'll say, you're gonna have to go look in the webcam on your phone, because I mean most smartphones, but as a minimum have the camera, and then they will do the same bank verification occasion.
I see.
You know.
Yes.
So it could work, but right. Obviously they as you say, kids are inventive. They'll probably go, what if I take a photograph or a video and I upload that and I play it on another phone? There are ways for security people to work around that, but I know, as you pointed out, if kids are desperate enough, they probably will find a way.
So I guess the question for me is it a technical issue or a behavioral one or both?
I do think that to solve this problem that it's intended for, it is main, and I agree with you, it should be a behavioral one. You should talk to your kids, but not every kid has the luxury of good, parenting. I think these are the ones that will fall, you know, between the gaps that are going to be present in such systems. So what the current approach is to say, well, we're going to put it on big tech's big shoulders and say, it is your problem.
You're
going to have
out.
To come to you must sort it out. You're going to help us police. But I think most laws or most countries, most systems do approach it from, you must show me you have tried. You can't cross your arms and say, I've done nothing. Or I'm not going to put in the effort.
Right, right. In other words, show me that you've at least tried. But it's so interesting because I would imagine the flip side of that is the more users any of these sites have, the more profitable. So we're asking them to remove some of their customers, in fact, quite a lot of their customers, from their platforms, which is a bit of a conflict as well.
Yeah, so, and that's why countries have now taken the more, not the carrot approach anymore, more the stick approach, as you've covered previously before on this channel with your colleagues. It's, if you do not comply and we find out, then there will be a massive fine. And so it's really to hit them in the pockets and say, well, obviously you're benefiting from it, so we're going to attack that.
I'm fascinated to hear from your perspective. You're in an academic environment, which means but it's post school, so you're seeing students that are a little bit older, but when they come through the doors of the university, do you think that they are educated enough about the dangers of online, of cyber, of privacy, etc.?
So I think there's a – look, we get all sorts of students. At UJ specifically, we do cater to many students from the more rural areas, etc. So a number of them actually do not even possess the computer literacy skills. And so we do have to bring them up to scratch. But obviously the next part is, okay, now you know how to use this and this technology, but it comes with a price. You must be careful. And so that is also part of the training we have to now put in. And as you point out, the ones who are tech savvy already coming in, they don't necessarily know, because you've got a lot of predators online, and they will use technology and Facebook, you said. Well, obviously not Facebook anymore. Nobody uses it. Nobody younger than we.
I was just going to say, I'm feeling a bit judged right now. I'm just saying. Nobody. But it's true. The youngsters aren't, no one's using it. I think, well, not nobody. I am. And I certainly, still use Facebook. But I don't know if the Gen Zs are using it. No, Senna's shaking.
No,
their
I think
head.
There's a lot of TikTok. There's a lot of TikTok. So Instagram. But it's still a fertile ground for predators to prey on young people who are more susceptible to being influenced. So we do need to train. But it's a lot more. You know, it's not just straight out saying, be careful. You can't just say, be careful. You have to point out there are these dangers. There are cyber criminals who might want to empty your wallet. There are people who engage in romance scams, pretending to be the great love of your life. So please give them money. So it's all these things. But it's also, I think it's easier for us to train people and say, look, there are many dangers out there. Please, before you hit post, before you share information, be wary. But you know, from the content available on Instagram, etc., they're going, sure, you've told me, but I'm going to do it anyway. So it is, as you say, it is a behavioral, it is getting people to understand why.
Absolutely right. That is where we leave it, Dr. Wei Tse Lung, from the Academy for Computer Sciences, Software Engineering, Cybercrime. That is at UJ.